Here comes Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Truth, empowerment, and inspiration. If you're tired and done with news that has an agenda, politicians that seek only re-election, and a culture run amok, Carol Gold awakens you to what is and what's possible. And now, supporting you on the journey, honoring you in your choices, empowering you to be your highest self, and always lighting and leading the way, here is Carol Gold.
Hi, I'm Carol Gold. That's true, and this is Inspirational Gold. Welcome to my show. The number here is 858-777-8442 if you want to call in and either share a comment, start a discussion, join a discussion, or, of course, get a free on-air reading. That's totally up to you, but I welcome your reaching out if that's what you feel you want to do. Before I start tonight's show, let's just take a moment and send our prayers, heartfelt prayers, down to the south, to the southern part of the United States, particularly Texas, Oklahoma. There's been some devastation through tornadoes and downpours, thunderstorms. I was in one yesterday and Saturday night, actually, and yesterday for the first time. Two tornado warnings where I live in Georgetown, Texas, just outside of Austin. I was hunkered down with my two cats in a safe room, and it actually came so close that I heard that train-like sound that people say you hear when a tornado is coming your way. It was incredibly frightening. I'd never been in weather like that before, having been born and raised and lived most of my life in the Northeast Corridor. That's not the kind of thing that I was used to. It was an experience. As a friend of mine commented, she said, well, I guess we can check that off our bucket list now. Not an expression I particularly love, but I get what she means. And yes, been there, done that, and don't need to do tornadoes ever again. However, prayers and light to all of those who have lost homes, obviously those who have lost families first and foremost, those who've lost relatives, homes, property, all of the above. Nature is awesome, and when it unleashes its fury, it is a sight to behold and to experience. Again, the number here, 858-777-8442. This show, as you know, is a little different than my Above the Fray podcast that I do on Monday and Thursday evenings with Steve Clark here on Blog Talk Radio, and which you can listen to archived here or on iTunes, which is the same as this show. The show that I do here is based on who I really am, and who I really am is both a lawyer and an intuitive. And so this is the show where I get to bring it all together and both look at world events or look at a particularly literal and material topic, but also then look at it from a higher perspective. So what I wanted to talk about tonight is actually two articles that were sent to me this week, and ironically, they are the epitome of those two sides of myself and those two aspects of our lives, our spiritual lives and our very real practical earthly matter lives. One was about, actually, it was about ISIS indirectly, and the other was about Elon Musk and Larry Parks, I think his name is, from Google. Elon Musk, of course, from Tesla, CEO of Tesla. And let me tell you what each one of these was about. The first was actually a video on YouTube that someone sent me. And I don't remember the man's name whose video I watched. However, he's very big in the metaphysical world. He has studied ancient civilizations. He has a whole theory or books that he's written on UFOs and aliens and also on the technology, the misuse of the technology. And he particularly talked about the technology and its potential for doing grave harm, meaning AI, artificial intelligence, holds the capacity, the capability that eventually robots and artificial intelligence will be able to reproduce itself. They will be self-regenerative. And when that happens, there runs the potential for them to both outflank, outman, so to speak, outsmart we humans. And there are huge ethical issues around the development of AI And there are huge ethical questions that have been raised, not just from people in the metaphysical world, but people from every walk of life. What happens when there isn't an ethical consideration to what we are tampering with and what we are inventing? There's always a good side and a bad side to everything, as there is with the internet, as we know. Artificial intelligence holds huge potential for both, for the good and for the not so good, for evil, as some would say. And when I was listening to his YouTube broadcast, I suddenly thought about ISIS, and here's why. You know, the thing that drives ISIS, although they claim it's a religious belief, it's an egoic belief, it's an egoic passion, if you would, if the ego, assuming the ego can have a passion, it's an egoic drive to control. It's an egoic drive to be the master over many and to manipulate and control humanity to fill a completely egoic desire, couched admittedly in the guise of religion, even though some say ISIS and all of radical Islam is not, it nonetheless is. It is a quasi-religious movement, if not a completely religious movement. And when I thought about that, I thought about the people who are driven, the Ray Kurzweils, who is the artificial intelligence head of Google. I thought about people who are driven to invent machines that can replace humans. And after all, isn't that an egoic drive as well? Isn't what Google is doing with its cooperation and its unhealthy relationship with the federal government, the Apple Watch, isn't the Apple Watch that? You're being tracked. You can be monitored. Your everything sooner or later will be trackable, and therefore you will be manipulatable. Is that a word? You will be able to be manipulated. That's a sentence, I know, for sure. So what I thought about was, how much difference is there really between ISIS and the drive to control humanity through technology and the potential to harm humanity? That's not to say we should never advance. I mean, I'm sure there were people who were afraid of the combustion engine. I'm sure there were people who were afraid to lose horse and buggies for fear that something terrible would happen to the world. There's always a challenge in going through profound change. But what we're on the edge of now, both with ISIS and with the technology, is something that potentially is irreversible. In either case, irreversible in terms of the best interest of humanity. You know, I talked to a friend today and I had this conversation or a version of it off air, and his response to me was, I don't believe ISIS will prevail. I do believe the technology will. And that wasn't really any more reassuring to me than its converse. Because I remember once I watched the two heads of Google, and I cannot remember their names now, who were interviewed on an internet television show. Actually, it was the Glenn Beck show. And they had come to praise him for what he has accomplished in terms of multi-camera, internet, TV, and really the empire that he's built, where everyone said it couldn't be done. And in that conversation, Beck asked them some pretty tough questions. And one of them is, you know, do you ever wonder about the misuse of what you're creating? And the answer was by one of the, it was either the CEO or the COO, his answer was, well, no, because, you know, we're very concerned about ethics and we're not concerned that it will do anything wrong. And Beck laughed because it's kind of like giving a president of the United States unlimited power. and saying, well, we have an ethical president, he'll never abuse it. Let's pass the Patriot Act, this president will never abuse it. It's not the person in the moment you have to be concerned about. It's the generations that will follow and the people that will have access to whether it's that power or that technology. And how will they use it? Unless the ethics and the values are instilled within the act or within the technology itself, you have to be certain that within human nature, there will always be driving forces that are not for the highest good of humanity. There will always be the Hitlers. There will always be the barbarians. There will always be the radical Islamists of a different name whose goal it is to misuse the power. And if the power, if the technology advances to the point where AI can reproduce itself, and heaven forbid AI can sense itself, can become sentient, can become a thinking, feeling entity. You know, there was a recently a movie, I think it was called She, if I'm not mistaken. And I watched it. It was about a software program that basically became so real that this young man, I think it was, I forget who played the role. Phoenix? I'm not sure who played the role. Anyway, he fell in love with the software program. And the software program was very seductive. She was very enticing. She knew his every need. She satisfied his every need. She anticipated his every need. And so it may sound far-fetched, but realize something. We've raised at least one generation, and maybe a generation and a half, on the technology, where they've spent so much time on it that they have serious social skill problems. They really don't know how to relate to one another. They really don't know how to have face-to-face conversations. If you know young people, if you know people under 30 for sure, you've experienced this. They have real issues around intimacy. And I don't just mean that in terms of sexuality. I mean it in terms of relating one-on-one to other people in a very real human face-to-face, not FaceTime, but face-to-face interactions. And so it isn't far-fetched to think that these people who are already once removed from the normalcy of human contact could become, and certainly generations after them could become, completely absorbed into this machine-like life where, A, the point of singularity happens and we lose the distinction between what's AI and what's not. We lose the distinction between what humans have created and who humans are. And so that's what I was thinking about today. And I'm going to go to commercial in a minute, but I'm going to just leave you with this thought, which is, where do you come down on all of this? And how are you monitoring it in your own life? Or are you monitoring in your own life? Have you given thought to this? Does this seem far-fetched to you? If you're listening to the show and you want to call in, the number is 888-757-8442. I'm Carol Gold, and you're listening to Inspirational Gold. Hang in. I'll be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to An Hour of Gold with Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Carol, and I want to tell you about my new book, The Lightworker's Handbook, A Spiritual Guide to Eliminating Fear. We all need quick, concise, and inspirational guidance to get through the times in which we now live. The Lightworker's Handbook is just that. I wrote it with the intention to create an easy-to-read, easy-to-understand summary of why you are here now and what your particular purpose is in the grand scheme of a rapidly changing world. Whether you're in search of that purpose or have found it but question its authenticity at times, the Lightworker's Handbook is your answer and daily support. In the second half of the book, you'll find my English to Spirit Dictionary, where I redefine 83 words and phrases for the 21st century to help us elevate the conversation and bring more positive meaning to our lives. Words such as trust, wisdom, power, loss, ego, love, and many others are defined and used in sample sentences that will keep you thinking about and pondering how to live your life. Available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, but for fast delivery, order right off my website at Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, Gold, CarolGold.com, in paperback or instant ebook download. The Lightworker's Handbook, because you're not alone.
And now let's get back to an hour of gold with Carol Gold.
Hi. So it's not an hour. It's a half hour show. It says that because the show used to be called An Hour of Gold. I just changed it to Inspirational Gold because that's what I feel I do best, is inspire others to their highest selves. In fact, what I was talking about in the first part of the show when we were looking at the potential for merging the machine world, the technological world, with our very human existence. You know, I have spent a lifetime myself, I have spent a lifetime trying to find a nice balance, a healthy balance between those very parts of myself. I have a logical, rational side, my left brain. I'm a lawyer by education. I'm a lawyer by profession. And I have a right brain, creative, intuitive side. I am mystic. I do spiritual readings for people. Those are seemingly two incompatible worlds. And for a long time, they were. But I found myself finally when I realized that there was a way to bring my intuitive gift to my profession in a way that would give my life true purpose. And that was when I began my company, The Jury Whisperer. I used my intuitive abilities to help attorneys choose jurors. Because after all, questionnaires and, you know, body language, it only tells you so much. When you can actually read what a person is thinking or experience what they're feeling empathically, that's a profound edge up. I raise this because things that are seemingly are incompatible aren't necessarily incompatible. Sometimes, as Joshua Cooper Ramo says in his book, The Age of the Unthinkable, sometimes, and particularly now, as we're going through what many call a paradigm shift, or we've already gone through it, what you need to use is what he calls mashup logic. Mashup logic is where the jury whisperer came from. I took those two sides of myself, seemingly different worlds that I always kept separate, by the way. When I practiced law, I didn't tell people I was an intuitive. It doesn't ring well when people think you're a certain way, that they have a certain mindset. You can't just step in and say, oh, yeah, and by the way, I can give you a psychic reading in between trying your case. I didn't tell people I was a mystic, a psychic, a metaphysician when I practiced law. Then when I gave up my private practice of law, and I did many other things before I founded The Jury Whisperer, I didn't tell people that I was a lawyer, because when you're in the metaphysical world, there's not a very high opinion of lawyers, nor do they have very much to do in the metaphysical world. So I lived in two different worlds because they were seemingly incompatible. But mashup logic allows you to do that. Just like the founder of Wii, the interactive video game, is an expert in mashup logic. And when he first came to the CEO of the company that founded Wii, I mean, he created Wii, but the company that marketed Wii, he was known for that very thing. In fact, he had started with hangers. He understood that his kids didn't like to hang up their clothes. So he designed hangers that looked like animals, that looked there, you know, as the neck came up, there was an animal head on the hanger. It made the kids hanging up the clothes more fun. Mashup logic, animals and hangers. He was once watching his wife exercise to an exercise video on TV. But Nintendo at the time was the most lucrative and popular remote game in the world. Only it was static. It was a console game. It wasn't interactive. So he looked at his wife exercising to the video, and he thought about Nintendo, and he created Wii, the first interactive video game. And needless to say, it's global and a multi-billion dollar industry. So Mashup Logic is taking two things that are seemingly inconsistent and reorganizing them in a way that they, or at least a new one. And isn't that the key? The difference between a new purpose and a higher purpose. That is definitely the point of this show. And let's go back then to ISIS, to Google, to the technology, and to the alleged spread of a religion. Whether you're talking about spreading a religion and bringing to people who are otherwise infidels a new consciousness, or whether you're talking about technology and going from static machines that have no intelligence to interactive or even superior machines that have artificial intelligence, the key isn't newness. The key is higher purpose. And so that's what we have to be really careful about. You know, today I was reading an article on the internet, and when I scrolled down to look at the blog comments, the article had been about the Pope, the current Pope. I think his name is Pope Francis. Forgive me, I'm a Jew. I wasn't off the top of my head. I think it's Pope Francis. And the article was talking about how he hasn't watched television since, I think, 1992 or 1999, whatever. And so there were all these comments under the article, some very bigoted anti-Catholic comments, derogatory. But many people wrote, yeah, I gave it up in 1995. I gave it up in 1997. I gave it up in 2005. And all the comments were that life was better without it. I did the very same thing. I actually gave up television years ago. It was probably in the, let me think when it was. It was probably in the 80s, in the late 80s. And then when I remarried in around 2000, my ex-husband watched it a lot. And so I sort of got back into watching television, but not really. I more than anything kept him company. At times when he watched it. And then when I got divorced, I went right back to not watching television. In fact, I haven't had cable in I can't tell you how many years. I have a flat screen on which I watch DVDs that I purchase or I rent and that I have control over the content that's coming to me because I select it for a reason and there are no commercials. Nonetheless, new isn't always better. And so we have to be careful. We have to bring values to the things that we allow ourselves to be exposed to. And the more exposed we are to something, like the internet, the more of our value system we need to have in place. You know, when I say the word values, I thought of something. My daughter was recently home from, she's in the Israeli army, and she was home on a 30-day leave, and she was with me here in Texas. And she asked me a question a few days into staying with me, and it was about young men. She's dating someone at the time, and she was asking me a question. And she said, and then she told me a story. And she said, you know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what decision to make. And I said, the problem is you don't know what your value is around that issue. You haven't determined a value structure. Once you have a value, decisions are easy. Because either the thing that you're deciding about supports your value or it opposes your value. It either enhances your value or it devalues your value. And I said, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make situational decisions that are based on the moment. And the moment is always going to have pulls in many directions. And the moment is always going to have perhaps some very skewed facts and circumstances that are occurring. But if you have a value that you go into the moment with, then whatever you're confronted with, you revert, you default to your value. You aren't swayed by someone else's opinion. You aren't swayed by anything. Hopefully, your value is your stick. It's not a crutch, but it's your balance. It what allows you to stay balanced. We have to have values, not just about the technology. We either have to figure out how to program the values into the technology. And I heard an interesting comment today, and it was, what if we can, you know, if we can instill artificial intelligence, then let's instill values and let's cause them to shut down when they're going to violate a value. I mean, it sounds very far-fetched, right? But can you believe where we are? Can you believe the Apple Watch 10 years ago? Would you have believed most of what's happening right now is possible? I recently heard we're all going to have passports, and that all passports are about to have chips put in them, and that everyone will need a passport. They're going to be able to track us everywhere we go. It's about control. It's about ego. It's about mankind's ever, what would I call this? It's humankind's ever-present need to have power, to master over, whether it's nature, whether it's the animal kingdom, by nature I meant flora and fauna, whether it's the animal kingdom, whether it's others in the human race, or whether it's others in a one-on-one relationship. We have a chip somewhere in us that wants to master everything. And we have to be really careful about that. Careful in our personal relationships, and certainly careful with artificial intelligence. I remember the first time that my computer went on the blink, so to speak, and I had to reboot, and I had to go into safe mode, and I had to go back all the way into when it starts up, and you see that there's a master drive and a slave drive, and that's what they're called on your computer. And I laughed when I saw it, because I thought, wow, whoever invented this knew exactly what was coming and named it appropriately. There is a master and there is a slave, and there is also an old saying, or else I made it up. I'm not sure which. I won't take credit unless because it may well belong to someone else. But in your life, in our lives, we will be slaves to something. It's just a matter of what. So you can be a slave to money, or you can be a slave to sex and pornography, or you can be a slave to power. Or you can be a slave to God, or you can be a slave to ISIS, or you can be a slave to higher principles and higher... That's what free will is. Free will is we get to choose. So I'll leave you with that. I'll leave you with this question. Assuming you're a slave, who is your master? And if that answer doesn't make you smile, pick again. It's called free will. I'm Carol Gold. You've been listening to an hour of Inspirational Gold. Please remember, I'm on Monday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, with Steve Clark on Above the Fray podcast. You can catch that here on Blog Talk Radio or also on iTunes. My shows here, Inspirational Gold, are all archived, as are Above the Fray podcast. Thanks. Spread the word on both shows. Wishing you a great day. And a great week. Namaste. I am Carol Gold.
You've been listening to Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Please check out Carol's blog on her website at www.carolgold.com. You can email her at contact@carolgold.com. Carol can also be heard Fridays at 10 a.m. Central on Above the Fray podcast with co-host Steve Clark. Please visit Carol's fan page on Facebook at Above the Fray podcast and follow her on Twitter at @carolgoldnow. It's great having you be a part of creating a better world. Until we're all back together again.
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.